It is a beautiful morning. It's great to be here. Beautiful day. God has truly blessed us. We're happy that each and every one of you is here this morning. Any visitors? We're so thankful that you're here. And I pray that you're encouraged by what you see, what you hear. And just know your decision to be here encourages us. And we thank you for that. I want to say this before I get into my lesson. Really encourage you to get your picture taken in the directory. Not only will it help people like me make sure I put some names to faces properly, I'm still learning that, and it'll help new folks. And also, you know, there might be some members that they just don't know everyone, right? And maybe they're a little bit timid about talking to somebody because they don't know their name. So that directory would help them. That's so-and-so. Now maybe they'll be more encouraged to speak to them and grow in that relationship that we're supposed to have. So keep that in mind. And really, if you haven't signed up for that, consider doing that. It's just a great benefit in many different ways for all of us. So please do that. The monitor's not on up here, so I may have to turn around and look at this periodically. I don't know if there's just something I need to push in here, but we'll just work with it. So this morning, of course, our theme for the year, Impact 2022, the first 4 months, we're talking about looking in, right? The next 4 months, we're going to be talking about looking out. We're going to make that transition here in a couple weeks. And then the last portion of the year, looking up. So this morning, let's shine a light on giving our obedience as we continue to look within this morning. You know, dementia is a very difficult disease, as many of you know, where a person loses the faculties to go through normal daily activities. And from what I've read, there's two main areas of dementia. 60 to 80% Alzheimer, the remainder of it, if I remember correctly, it falls under vascular diseases like stroke and the like here. But when you think about the way that it manifests itself, mostly it's manifested by memory loss. And also it's manifested by not being able to communicate the way that the individual wants to communicate. But also, it manifests itself in the inability to focus, reason, or have proper judgment. You going to hook me up there? I appreciate that. I got to learn how to do that. But I want you to think about when we consider the physical aspect of dementia, probably goes without saying that anybody that's experiencing that, or if you have a loved one that's experiencing that, they would do anything and everything they could to remove that, right? And it goes without saying that nobody for sure would experience that voluntarily. I want you to think about now spiritual dementia, thank you. You know, and think about the fact that so many people suffer from spiritual dementia voluntarily. You know, we choose not to communicate. We choose not to talk to God. We make that decision to not have the will of God in our memory. You see, we suffer from spiritual dementia because we choose that. And how sad that is when we forget God and we close our Bibles, right? That's us. And what we're going to be looking at here this morning, we have to accept this reality. You know, it's easy to do. It's easy to forget God, right? We get busy with life, all the affairs of life that we deal with, we just forget God. It's easy to do. As a matter of fact, if we're not working on it, we're doing it. So this morning here, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, we're going to talk about giving God our obedience. And leading up to this, if you're not aware what's happening here, let's be reminded of the events that bring us to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Children of Israel, of course, slaves for 400 years. Moses comes, leads them out through the Red Sea, all of that. And they're going up to the Promised Land, that land that flows with milk and honey, Canaan's land. You know, they're right there at the edge of it, and they're about to go in. They send out the 12 spies, right? And the spies come back. 10 of the 12 give an unfaithful report. Unfortunately, the children of Israel believe the unfaithful reports. And God's going to destroy him. But Moses comes in and he intervenes and God relents. And so what God does for their punishment, of course, every day that they were the spies were sent out, God's going to give them 1 year of wandering in the wilderness. They're gone 40 days, they get 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And you look at all the events here that lead up to what we're about to look at. So that generation, the unfaithful generation, they're gone. Now here in Deuteronomy, this is the second generation. Right? And they're again standing at the edge of going into the Promised Land. Now here's the thing. Moses can't take them in. Moses was disobedient, so he can't take them in. And so Moses here is talking to the second generation of the children of Israel, and he's saying, you can't do what your fathers did. I'm not going to be able to take you in. You need to remember some things. You can't forget certain things. And so really, this is the basis of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law to this generation that was about to go in, saying you need to remember what your fathers didn't remember. They forgot God. You know, think of that, dementia again. Think of what it means, forgetfulness, memory loss, right? And they were struggling with, you know, spiritual dementia. Don't be like your fathers, right? You know, they're so close to having the land. They were so close to entering the Promised Land, but they forgot God. Right? And Moses here in our text, he's pleading with the people he loves to live up to the reward that's just waiting for them. A reward that he's not even going to experience himself. And this is a plea to them. And so here's what we read in the book of Deuteronomy. So read along with me here. Look at verse 1. Let's think about verse 1 here. And I'd like for you to notice here, the emphasis is on obedience again and again and again. If you read through all of Deuteronomy, you would see it over and over and over again. God telling his people that obedience is important. And I want you to think about as we look at verse 1 here, you know, how can we grow without obedience? The answer is you can't, right? And, you know, if we say we want Jesus as king of our lives, but yet we don't do what he says, those words ring hollow, right? They don't mean anything. What are you doing if you want to live a life without obedience? Well, you're saying that you're the king of your life, not Jesus, right? So I want you to focus in on that as we read this, the emphasis that God gives us again and again on obedience and how important it is. As we look here at the text. So verse 1, read it with me. Every commandment, notice emphasis on complete obedience, every commandment which I command you today, you must carefully observe. Right? Do you see the emphasis there? Every commandment, don't just observe it, but be careful to observe it. You know, how do you treat your faith? You know, is it... Are you carrying around a box of rocks or a box of eggs, right? Which one would you be more careful with? Right? How do you treat your faith? Do you treat your faith like you're hauling around a box of rocks? Right? God cares about your faith, and he wants you to carefully, carefully take care of your faith. It matters to him. It matters greatly. How do you treat your faith? Right? And also, you know, when we're looking at this, you know, please don't make the mistake of equating carefully observing his word with being legalistic or pharisaical. Right? They're not the same. And, you know, understand this, that carefully observing the word of God has never been discouraged or rebuked in the Bible by God. It hasn't. Right now, being legalistic, or some people say pharisaical, that's taking the word of God and making it more narrow than what it is. You're changing the word of God. And same thing when you make it more broad. Right? So when you have that desire to carefully observe the word of God, in the Bible, people that do that, God highly esteems them. He absolutely highly esteems them. God has never condemned anyone for carefully observing his word. Right? How can I say that Jesus is king of my life when I don't know what he says? Right? You know, if I only obey the commandments that I like and the ones that I don't like, well, you know, I don't want to be legalistic. I don't want to be pharisaical, so I'm not going to follow that. Again, what you're saying is you're making yourself the king of your life and not Christ. And so let's read verse 1 here in its entirety. And now the plea is, you know, if you go into Canaan, listen and obey every word of God carefully. And he promises you can live there, you can multiply, you can increase, you can thrive there. You see that? You know, wait a minute, Moses. You mean that all we have to do is carefully observe the word of God? He said, yeah, that's right. That's what God's telling you. That's what your fathers didn't do, and they died out in the wilderness. It's a matter of obedience. Now, if you were to look at Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, that's some Christian application of this event. And you'll see there, you know, the children of Israel, again, weren't allowed to go into the promised land because of disobedience. Unbelief is equated to disobedience. They believed in God, but they were disobedient, couldn't enter the promised land. So think about what's your application. You can believe in God all day long. You know what? You can show up to church every Sunday, still be disobedient, and still not be allowed to enter into the promised land. Not my words, but the words of God. And so when we think about this here, moving on to our next verse, verse 2, let's think about who we obey. So in verse 2 here, notice who are we to follow, right? Read it with me. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Now stop and think about what was he trying to accomplish, right? To humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So if we're going to allow the Lord to lead us, what kind of followers should we be? Now, we've already been reminded here that we're not a follower if we're not submissive in all things. Right? But notice the second thing here. He wants to know your heart. You see, God is just as concerned with our inward motives as he is with our outward actions. Right? You know, we only can judge each other by the actions that we take. But God's concerned about both. You know, not only what you do, but what's going on the inside. You know, he can see in there. He knows what's going on. We've talked about that in the past. You know, God's looking at that inner person of the heart. And so, you know, I think it's amazing, by the way, that God is concerned with what's going on the inside here. And I want you to, when you look at this verse here, you know, make sure the reason that we're serving God is because we love God with how much of our heart? You know, all of our heart. All of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of our being here. And so Moses here is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, you've got to obey all the commandments, but you start with your heart. Don't be an actor, don't be a hypocrite. God knows. He can see in there, right? He wants you to give God all of your being. But I want you to notice this in the next verse. I want you to think about here why we obey. And notice here, we see how God worked into their lives certain things to humble them. Right? And this is a real tough procedure of humility, right? Have you ever been severely punished? I know I have. You know, you can even say, yeah, I was guilty of that. I deserve the punishment. But man, that was severe punishment. Have you ever went through that? Maybe when you're younger? You think, man, that punishment was a lot worse than what I thought it should be. I didn't deserve that. And can you imagine this right here, especially that first generation? You know, Lord, what'd you say our punishment's going to be? 40 years in the wilderness, and we're going to die out there? You know, let that sink in and think about this. You know, God, why did you do that? Right? What were they supposed to learn from that kind of punishment? Well, here's the answer in verse 3. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. That's humiliating. Right? You know, I can't take care of myself anymore. You know, I thought I was the one that put food on the table. You know, I thought when I ate that I was the one that provided my food for me and my family. And now I realize I can't provide anything. You know, I'm out here in the wilderness. I can't provide for myself or my family. That's humiliating. That'll humble you. Because what happens then? When you realize if you're going to survive, if your family's going to survive, you have to rely upon who? God. A complete and total reliance upon God. And, you know, it's coming to that realization, you know, if God doesn't first bless me, I don't have the opportunity to take care of myself or my family. Right? And when we can reach that point of humility, and I hope we all realize that, you know, do you remember what Jesus had to pray for? What kind of bread? Daily bread. And all of that is working into our lives, the understanding in humility that I have nothing without God. You know what? If you ate today, that's because God blessed you. And if you're going to have a meal today, the only reason you're going to have a meal today is because God blesses you. You're not the source of that. I don't care if you worked 80 hours last week, got some money to buy food. That's from God. You're not the source of that. And that's what he's working into these folks right here. You know, and so we should be appreciative, of course, of the blessings that God has given us. And you look at the text, he says, you know, one of the ways he humbled you, he didn't just provide for you for a little while and you got hungry, you know, and then you realized humility, then you realized you need help, right? God is working that into their lives, getting them to see that everything, absolutely everything they have, it's because they've been blessed by God. And that's difficult. That's tough. You know, he gave them bread. Just look at the rest of that verse there. He gave them bread where they could never claim that they were the source of it, right? They didn't get the seed. They didn't plant it, take care of it as it grew, harvest it, take the wheat and grind it up and make dough and bake it, right? He gave them something they could never claim that they were the source of it. He gave them bread from heaven. It was a gift from God. And you see that humility being worked into their lives here? And looking at the text, you know, if you look at verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna from heaven that you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Again, they couldn't claim this bread. You know, why did he do that? That he might make you know. You see that? It's all about knowledge. It's about memory here. That man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How important is it for us to be humble? What is it for us to be humble? Because humility is of the highest importance to God. You know, it means that we come to that point, we realize that we have nothing without God and we are nothing without God. What a great challenge for us this week. You know, everything that you have, thank God for that. The clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, the roof over your head, give God glory for that. Understand that He's the source of that. Everything that you hug this week, what a great blessing. Give God thanks for that. Have you ever heard someone say, you know what? God could take your next breath. Have you ever heard that before? Listen, He doesn't have to take your next breath. He just doesn't have to give you your next breath. And that's a difference. There's a difference in understanding that. God is working into their lives humility. And when we come to that point and realize we are nothing, we have nothing without God, that's the beginning of humility. And that's the beginning of us giving God our obedience. Now, notice verse 4 here. I want you to notice this. So, they'd been out there for 40 years. You know, how are we staying alive all this time, right? Wandering around in the wilderness. God gave us bread, and you notice here that their clothes aren't even wearing out. You see that? You know, been out here 20 years, 30 years, 35, 40 years. Our clothes are just as new as when we left Egypt. Isn't that amazing? How's that happening here? And so we look at them, what's happening? Well, God is working humility into their lives so that every answer of, hey, where did this come from? How are we alive? Every time the answer is God. How do we get this water to drink in the wilderness? God. This manna, this bread from heaven, where do we get God? Right? We even got clothes we're not wearing out. How'd that happen, God? And our feet aren't even swelling. How's that possible, God? You see how He's doing that? He's working humility into their lives here. Everything. It's all a blessing from God. And if we can truly see that and believe that according to the verses here that we just read, you know what we've accomplished? Humility. I am nothing and I have nothing without God. Number 4 here, look at verse 5. We're going all the way to verse 6. We're going to begin to wind down here in just a moment. And so when we look at verse 5 here, you know, what are the means trying to accomplish this? Getting us to the point where we understand humility, that we're going to give God our obedience. What are the means here, right? This is how God's going to accomplish this. He already spoke about the details. Now we're going to start to see some principles here, right? You should know in your heart, see, we're back to what do you know? What do you remember? That a man chastens or disciplines his son. So the Lord your God chastens you. I want you to jump over to Hebrews 12, if you would, if you have your Bibles with you. All right, why were they out in the wilderness? Well, God was punishing them, right? Well, what was God trying to accomplish in that punishment, that discipline, that chastening? Well, they were supposed to be humbled. Well, how were they going to be humbled? All right. You know, the answer was, of course, they only had things that the answer every time, you know, the source of it, the answer every time was, you know, God. Okay? And then in that here, you know, that total reliance upon God, and in that here we have a principle. If you have your Bibles open here to Hebrews 12, you know, why is God doing this? Why is He punishing the people that He loves? And so here in Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to be reminded of some principles. When we think about, you know, being chastened or punished by God, why does He do that? Well, He's doing it because He loves us. And He wants us to learn from our mistakes and grow from that. Right? As when we were kids, you know, if your parents, you know, were punishing you, you know, and they were telling you, hey, this is for your own good. You know, we didn't believe it when we were kids, right? But now as an adult, as a parent, you're like, and you say it because you understand it now. Right? Because you love your child. You want them to grow beyond that mistake that they made and not do that mistake anymore. Right? You're punishing them because you love them. Now, I want you to think about this when we read this. We'll go ahead and begin reading there in verse 5 in just a moment. You know, I want you to think about, you know, when you do have to discipline your child, you're going to get one of two responses, right? They're going to accept that punishment for what it is. They're going to learn from it. they're going to get better. They're going to move beyond that mistake, right? They're going to accept that punishment. Or, as you know, they can reject that. They can rebel against you and that punishment and not learn from it, not grow from it, right? You see, we have the same choice when our Father chastens us. We can accept it for what it is, a God who loves us, wants us to grow from it, move beyond that mistake, or we can reject it. We can forget God, we can ignore it, not accept it, and do our own thing. But understand, we'll suffer the consequences. See, that's what God's trying to get across to me here. Am I responding properly to his chastening? So how does punishment work? Well, in verse 5, he says, "Do not despise the chastening of the Lord," but look at verse 7. "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. And for what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" And, you know, so I need to understand that in this, whatever that chastening is from God, it's for good purpose, because he loves me. Right? And I can accept that or I can reject that. And so I need to understand the same way with the Lord here. I accept it. I'm humbled by God. I change what needs to be changed, or I reject it. And keep reading here, verses 9 and 10. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." So it's to our profit to live in subjection to a God that loves us enough to discipline us. But verse 11, it's not easy in the midst of that discipline, right? "Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Right? That this is the Lord training us in the right direction. And this is, you know, what God's going to do for us because he loves us. Right? Now, in this, in your life, if you don't see that peaceable fruit of righteousness that the Lord has tried to work into your life, maybe it's because you've ignored it or rejected it. And therefore, you're not growing in your faith as you should. So if you're struggling to grow in your faith, maybe that's why. You're not allowing the Word of God to correct you, to chasten you, to convict you and challenge you. We're going to talk about that this evening. And I hope that you're here for our evening lesson as we're going through the book of Acts. Not a better place in this world to be than with God's people, worshiping and studying God's Word. I hope you're here for that, because we're going to talk about it. That's the title tonight, Convicted and Challenged, from Acts chapter 7. Now, moving right along here, you know, you see that's literally what Moses is talking about to the children of Israel. Right? He's saying, don't you understand how that previous generation was punished? Right? And you were supposed to learn humility, because God wants to see the fruits of righteousness in your life. So to what end? Look at this right here, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. So he's going to sum up his previous thoughts here, right? And we've seen the means was discipline, right? And the end, in other words, what was it going to accomplish? Here's what it was going to accomplish in verse 6. "Therefore," in other words, if you've learned everything he said in verses 1 through 5, all right, here's the conclusion. "You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God." That's number one. Now here's number two. "To walk in his ways," and number three, "to fear him." You want to keep commandments? You know, why do we keep commandments? Not just to check a box in our faith. Right? What do we do, or why do we do what we want, what God wants us to do? I should say, look at the middle of verse 6 here. You know, we want to walk with him. We want to keep his commandments so that we can have fellowship with him. But here I want you to think about this. You know, if we don't keep his commandments, We're going to be out there in the world and with the world. We don't want to be there. Remember 1 John 2:15-17? So notice this last phrase in verse 6 here. In that we should fear him. How do you fear God? Well, it begins with being humbled before him and giving him your obedience. You're having this respect for God, this awe of our God. Right, a genuine awe for God. You know, so here's a question. Do you remember God? Right? Does your life reflect that you remember God in all things? And do you realize what we've lost if we've forgotten God? Do you realize what we lose? Picture this, and then we'll offer the Lord's invitation. I want you to think about the day of judgment that's real, and it's coming. You're going to be there. Right? And I want you to think about this day that is a lot closer for some of us than we realize. I want you to think about this day if you've lived a life of forgetting God, and now you're before Him in judgment. And maybe you might come up with some excuses in your mind. Lord, I just forgot you. I just couldn't remember. I was so busy, God, that I just didn't remember you in my day-to-day life. Lord, I just seemed to forget you when I went to work and when I came home. Lord, I just seemed to forget you when I got together with my friends. Listen, friends and brethren, those excuses will ring hollow on the day of judgment. Do you realize what we lose when we forget God? You know, this week, let's make sure that having Jesus as King of Kings in our lives is of the utmost importance, that we don't forget, that we live lives that show that Jesus is everything. You know how great it is when God's people live their daily lives with God at the forefront, with thinking about Jesus, seeing God in everything. What a great blessing. Right, and we realize that we have nothing, that we are nothing without God. What a great thing it is to see God's people living that out. This morning here, if you haven't begun that journey with God, the call for you is to obey the gospel, to be immersed into Christ. If you haven't done that, let us help you. Maybe you've done that and you've fallen away because you keep forgetting God. Right, and you're ready to start that life of focus on God, start over, to be reconciled to God. We'd love to help you with that. Any need that you have spiritually, don't let it go another day. Don't let it go another day. If we can help you in any way, please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.